Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning.
Look, getting my affairs in order is often a lastminute.com kind of thing. And invariably, as time marches on, the size of said task starts to feel all that much more daunting. I'm not really a New Year's resolution kind of guy, but I do set intentions for the year, Rick. So today, my intention is for us to get my house in order, so to speak. You know, get all my affairs in place, know where everything is, make sure that everybody is sorted. And I need to know what should I do? Where do I start? Please, Rick, it's the beginning of the year. Let's get our house in order.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah, I know you're not a New Year's resolution kind of guy, but apparently, that's not a bad thing. Apparently, 80% of people ditch their New Year's resolutions by about February.
Okay.
So, maybe just to say, I don't think you should see this as a New Year's resolution task. I just think it's much bigger than that, you know. So I think it should just be given far more priority than something you're going to try and keep doing for the first part of a year, if you know what I mean.
100%, yeah.
So, what should you do first and foremost? Okay, so we refer to this thing as in case of an emergency file, and there are lots of names for it. I think Peter Dirk Ace refers to it quite somberly as your death drawer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or other people I've heard call it a pop-off file.
Ah.
Look, either way, it's not a nice topic to think of somebody passing away, but if I can say, it is super, super important. So, you know, you spoke about intentions. It's a great intention. Get your stuff in order and get it documented and saved.
Okay, so super important. Then what do I do now? I'm confused. Sometimes I think, should I photocopy documents and then file them and have a hard copy? Do I scan things and put it in the cloud? Do I give access to the documents to somebody else in case something happens to me? Where do I even begin to start, what do they say, taking a tiny bite of this massive elephant, so to speak?
Yeah, Sean, I mean, if you think about it, once again, it's a little somber, but if you were not here, what is the kind of information that you think would be helpful to those that you leave behind? So that could be a spouse, a partner, it's your loved ones, right? So what you're really doing is making a massively big difference to the people that are left behind. You're making it so much easier for them at a time when it's going to be very tough for them. So your question around printed docs or digital docs, to be totally honest with you, it doesn't really matter. More and more now, people are saving things digitally, and most things can be saved digitally and saved quite securely. So I would probably suggest digitally, but there's nothing wrong with Peter Dirk Ace's a death drawer, you know, a physical drawer with everything in it. I would say the most important thing about that is you can start off with a great intention and stick everything there, but you got to keep it updated because it certainly gets out of date. You move home, documents are different, you know, you've sold something, you've bought something else, you just need to keep it all up to date.
And I think for me, peace of mind is exceptionally important. Whether I have things printed out that in case of a fire, I can grab the file and take it with me. Sometimes I think that's important or the better way to go. But as you quite rightly say, if it's being saved digitally and others have access, but as you quite rightly say, if it's being saved digitally, it's being saved to the cloud and somebody else does have access and they know how to access it, then that also does give me peace of mind. You've said that it's relatively safe. How safe is it all to be saved into the cloud, do you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, nowadays, I think everything can probably be hacked. So let me just put that caveat in there. But yeah. There are actually companies that that make it their business to create, digitally safe environments to save documents. So one company we've come across is a business called LifeDocs.
Okay.
And literally it's set up for exactly that. You know, you would give somebody else access to that set of documents online, and everything can be saved in there. And that could be passwords to bank accounts and access to all sorts of things. So that is definitely an option, and people are using it far more. Is it 100% safe? I mean, it's difficult to answer that, but it's about as safe as it can be. Maybe that's not good enough, really. But if you're at all nervous about saving things digitally, then do it physically. Or what you can do is save a lot of things digitally, but when it comes to passwords and things like that, you could save that physically, yes. Literally written down on a piece of paper and passed on to a loved one, or you tell that person where that where those passwords are kept. Maybe just to say that, you know, most things a digital copy is fine, almost everything actually, except a will. Your will needs to be an original document. So whilst it's fine to save a copy digitally, somebody needs to know where your will is, the physical will, because you need, and obviously it needs to be signed correctly and right. Witnessed and dated and all of that. And we're not going to get into that today, but basically the will is probably your most important document, and it needs to be an original.
I did not know that. Thank you. Okay, that's exceptionally helpful. And Life Docs as well. I'll definitely be looking that up. Do you think they have somewhat of a guideline? You mentioned bank accounts and PIN numbers and so forth like that. It's sort of like a guide of what things should be put in my, what was it, a pop-off file?
Yeah. Yeah, look, short of me running through a whole bunch of things to stick in there, yes, you'll be guided by a company like LifeDocs. But we actually have on our website, you can have access to a list which lists, you know, the things you should be thinking about. Now, a lot of these things aren't applicable to everybody. But, you know, if I can just quickly run through a couple of the things. I mean, the things you should be thinking about are on your personal capacity. It's just like a copy of your ID. If you're married, your marriage certificate. If you're divorced, your divorce order. And if you got children, copies of their IDs, passports, maybe. Maybe a copy of your bank statement or proof of your bank account. Login details for your bank account.
Sure, yes.
Your SARS tax reference. Maybe an old return that you've had, just so it's got your reference on there. If you're employed, you know, just your company benefits statements, name of employer, your contract, maybe proof of medical aid cover, and then, you know, your financial planner's details. We actually, you know, pass that on to a lot of our clients. We say, you know, here's a file, stick all your important documents in there. And on that, you have our names and, you know, a copy of our report, which we try and pull everything together on one. Even though we're not necessarily managing it, we try and keep it all in one place on one document for our clients. Yeah, and then weirdly, one of the ones you need to put on there is social media details, like accounts, logins, and passwords for that too.
Oh my goodness, that's so very true. I mean, if you can just use my fingerprint to get onto my cell phone, but if you don't have my fingerprint, then you can't get into logging into any of my things. These really are things that I don't generally think about.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, how's Facebook or Instagram going to know you've passed away and you're
no.
It's going to sit there for, you know, for eternity?
The process of notifying people that has happened is laborious, I'm sure.
Yeah. Look, I think it's important, you know, whilst social media accounts is important, I think it's far more important to really put down a list of your assets and liabilities on one spreadsheet. So that, you know, you need to collect all these documents and scan them in, but I would create a spreadsheet and I would list down your assets and liabilities. And alongside each, you know, just list the important things, like what's the value, maybe a date of when that value was there, or maybe an account number, the contact person, you know, just so that if something happens to you, there's some sort of trail to follow. Otherwise, it's very hard to make any sense of people's affairs.
Yeah. And the type of stuff there, again, with assets, I suppose everything from property to vehicles, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, one of the most important documents is your property deeds. And often if your house is bonded, that's sitting with a bank, you know. So if you've got a bond, then have your bond agreement so that at least somebody go, oh, the bond's with F&B or ABSA or whatever. Mm. And look, I mean, a lot of this your spouse or partner may know, but they may not as well. So it's worth just listing it all down. So as you said, registration papers for cars, lease agreements, municipal accounts for your home, TV license. That's something that can cause an executor endless trouble, is getting a TV license out of somebody's name. And then, you know, any levies or anything, statements on that, any hire purchase agreements, would fall under liability. So it's really just anything that's going to affect your sort of winding up an estate. Just stick it all in a file, and it's just very helpful for those that you leave behind.
Yeah. You mentioned municipal accounts there a second ago. And if I'm honest, I receive my municipal account and the levy statement each 3 months. And once I paid it, I don't even look at it again. Are you suggesting that I keep one of these? Do I need to keep them in a file? How important is that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have some clients that literally save every single monthly statement and stick them away. So I'm not suggesting that. I too delete my rates bill. But I would just keep one from time to time. And all that has is just the details of the property or account number, you know, with the city. And it's just so much easier if there's one document there that at least ties back the property details. It shows who the owner is. That sort of thing.
Okay. I understand that a bit better now. Any other things that you can think of that
So like we had a list there of your assets and liabilities, you know, other things which would probably be listed, but maybe just a copy of your life policy or, you know, who's your life policy with, and just a statement that you would get like once a year. You just stick that in the file, and you only need one copy of that. As long as you've got a contract number, they can always trace back and go, oh, okay, the cover's there and that's what it's for. Investment statements, you could just save one of those every now and then. But if they're on a schedule, that's good enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. Offshore investments, shares, maybe even your short-term insurance supplier would be helpful. So, you know, who you have your short-term cover with, or if it's through a broker, maybe their details. And if you've got any other policies, funeral cover, that sort of thing, just, you know, list it down there, save a copy.
I'm listening to you list off all of these things, and it's quite an extensive list, which I'm very grateful for, because some I have forgotten I might even have taken out. A question then for you, Rick, is would my financial advisor have kept these types of documents on my behalf? Should I check in with them and ask for a copy so that I can add it to my in case of emergency pop-off file lists, death drawer sort of thing?
So, Sean, as financial planners, we do hold a lot of the information, but we don't have access to everything. So, if you've got an advisor and you've got investments through that advisor and you've got life cover and medical aid, you don't necessarily need to save all of that into a file. But on the schedule that your advisor has, when you meet with them, you know, in your annual review, just bring that information to the advisor so that it can just be kept up to date. And actually, it can be held almost on your file with the advisor. But there's certainly going to be things that they won't have, which are, you know, your property. We may hold the property value and who the bond is with, but we're not going to have the details of the bond account and things like that.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Other things that we should still be thinking of, do you think?
Yeah, so we spoke about your will and making sure that that's, that you've got an original of that. Make sure it's valid. And then ensure that, in some cases, you need an offshore will. Just make sure that that's up to date. So in our reviews with clients, we generally touch on the will. We have a look and make sure that it's valid, and that if we've got the original or the client's got the original, and we actually note that on our system. And then letter of wishes is another document that kind of goes hand in hand with that, which letter of wishes just talks to, it's not a binding contract, but it's really just your wishes, I guess.
Okay.
And then any general power of attorney or special power of attorney given to anyone, maybe a child, grown-up child to look after you if you're elderly. We keep a record of that. Yeah, that's probably the things I can think of, yeah.
Okay. So now we've created this file, and I keep shoving things in as I purchase them. I'm either doing it digitally or physically. And I guess another thing to remember is it's important to keep it relevant, right? So you got to get rid of historic stuff that's no longer applicable and then add in the new stuff as it's required, right? Keeping it up to date is just as important as putting it together in the first place.
Yeah, it's super important, because you don't want your loved ones to open this file with stuff there that's 20 years old that is totally not relevant anymore. So you are going to know this much better than anyone else. So you can literally, you know, get rid of things that you know are no longer there. If you've moved home, you've sold investments, you know, just get rid of it so that at least it doesn't confuse people.
And like you said, definitely not a New Year's resolution, do it once. It's definitely something that you're going to keep coming back to.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm not quite clear on just yet is about the online access to things like a shared account of sorts, you know, or getting access to a bank account. It still feels a little bit weird for me that I might write it down somewhere. A lot of that stuff's just in my head. Obviously, it's important, right, to have it somewhere for somebody else to be able to access.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's really no correct answer here, Sean. I mean, I was sharing this information with my wife the other night. I said, hey, you know, there's a spreadsheet that I've got. It's got everything on and, you know, da-da-da. And, of course, you know, she's got a million things on the go. She's not really listening to me. So the thing with these and the thing with this is you really have to get down to it, get this file sorted out, and write down these access details, logins and things, which is, you know, that's one way of doing it, or through a company like LifeDocs and getting it saved. But so there is no right answer. And it does feel a bit weird writing down, you know, login details, username, password. It does feel weird. But who else is going to be able to access this down the line? I mean, you know, you may just want to note that the account is held there and this is the password, you know, this is the account details and this is who to contact. Maybe that's good enough. You don't want login details. I mean, you don't want them lying around, but certainly bank details. You do want your spouse or partner or loved one to at least be able to get access to your bank accounts and log in.
And the last thing we want is think for accounts and things like that to be frozen for you not be able to be able to access in the long run.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I must say, now that you've broken it up the way that you have, it doesn't feel quite so daunting to me anymore. And you've also helped me realize that I think I actually have most of these documents already, but they might not all be in the same place, which is relatively easy to rectify. It's not such a big job after all.
Yeah. I mean, as I said earlier, we've created a in case of an emergency template, and we've shared that some kind of guidelines through our website, which is basically on the website, and you can just find it there and download it for yourself, and just a guide of the kind of documents you need to think about.
Veritaswealth.co.za. I was just there, and I see it's there, and it is. It's super helpful. So thank you for that, Rick. As always, really great to get your insights. I always feel just a little bit more equipped after chatting with you. And I think I'm ready to get my house in order now, so to speak. So no prizes for guessing what I'll be doing this weekend.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.